go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back again, visiting with Dinesh D'Souza, a force of nature when it comes to his ability to bring his intellectual ability to bear in exposing and clarifying what's going on in our country. We're talking most immediately about his terrific new film, Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party, which, again, I commend to all of you. And I just wanted to pick up on one other point, which I thought was very well done in the film, Dinesh, and that is what you discovered the young acolyte to Saul Alinsky taught the master about how to effect kind of revolutionary change.
Yeah, Hillary was, she kind of upended Alinsky, outmastered the master, if you will, because Alinsky's whole thesis was that extortionists should be on the outside of government. They should be on the outside banging on the door, pressuring city government or pressuring corporations to give in to their demands. And Hillary had a thought, and that was, wait a minute, what if we are on the inside of government? What if all the apparatus of government is at our beck and call? Today, we live in a country where the post office has a SWAT team and the Bureau of Land Management has a SWAT team. So if we have all the power of government in our command, the IRS, the FBI, we then are terrifyingly more effective than if we're just outsiders a la Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton banging on the door. So Hillary kind of outsmarted Alinsky and took the Alinsky strategy, you might say, inside of government.
And as you look at where she would go, if, in fact, God forbid, Hillary's America eventuates, give us just a sense of what would be our fate.
I think the way to understand Hillary, and this is also a good way to understand Benghazi, think about Hillary's, you know, infamous, irritable, what difference does it make? How do we make sense emotionally of what she was saying there? Well, I think the way to do that is to imagine two people who are robbing Fort Knox. This is what they do. This is why they're in government. They're robbing Fort Knox. And then people come running in and say, oh, we need medical attention over here. Oh, that guy's life is in danger over there. Oh, can you help and sign this memo? Oh, can you unleash? And the attitude of Hillary is, hey, don't bother me. I'm robbing Fort Knox. Can't you see I'm robbing Fort Knox? So the point is that the Clintons are so absorbed in their own personal advancement, and they see foreign policy as a way to do that. We give examples in the movie of how they are reckless with the acquisition of American uranium assets, selling them off essentially to Canadian billionaires, Russian oligarchs, ultimately companies controlled by Vladimir Putin. How they intercept aid money that's intended for Haiti. Hillary is Secretary of State. Bill is the head of the UN Commission for Haiti aid relief. A lot of that money never gets to Haiti. It swells the coffers of the Clinton Foundation. I mean, it's one thing to rob from rich people, but the Clintons will even rob from poor people. And so to me, with the difference between Hillary and Obama is Obama wants to reduce America's wealth and power. This is his ideological objective. With Hillary, you have people who are basically on the take. They don't care about domestic policy. They don't care about foreign policy. Everything is secondary to their own insatiable ambitions and appetites. And that's what I'm afraid we're up for if Hillary is allowed back into the White House.
Chilling thought, indeed. Hey, Dinesh, let me close this examination of our history and politics and the practice of politics by the Democratic Party particularly by asking you to assess, as an historian is particularly capable of doing, the Obama legacy. As you say, his interest in transforming America on the one hand and altering its relationship with the rest of the world is probably going to be the leitmotif of this presidency. But what do you think is going to be best remembered of it from, you know, future historians?
Well, it's very eye-opening to go back to the film I made 4 years ago, 2016, and watch it now. Because in that film, I made predictions about Obama. And in foreign policy, I said that Obama will not only weaken our national defense, but he will strengthen our enemies and weaken our allies. Now, we can just clinically look to see if that's the case. Mubarak was our ally in Egypt. He's gone. Gaddafi wasn't our ally, but he was doing business with us. He's gone. Assad is not our friend. He's our enemy, and he's in power. The mullahs in Iran are very definitely our adversary. They're even stronger than ever. So simply as a matter of Euclidean fact, the truth of it is that this result has in fact been accomplished. American influence in the Middle East is much less. It used to be that not a whole lot could happen in the world without the Americans say-so. Obama has ensured that this is no longer the case, and groups like ISIS have arisen out of that vacuum. So this is the terrible, measurable Obama legacy, weakening America in the world. And this is why we are at a point where we need a certain kind of American restoration. We don't need to bring in the Clinton duo, who are going to, in a somewhat different way, but nevertheless continue this project of American erosion, American decline.
When you look at this in particular, I wonder what you make of the efforts he's undertaken to transform America as a nation, as a sovereign nation in particular. And I'm thinking, as an example of this, the controversy that is likely to preoccupy us at least after the election, namely over the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Have you taken a look at that? And more broadly, what do you make of his likely legacy in this area?
I think we see with Obama something that we hadn't seen before, which is we see a president, and I think I did call him right on this in my early book, The Roots of Obama's Rage. I said, look, you know, most Americans, most presidents, Republican or Democrat, are within America, and they look at America and the world from inside America. Obama, oddly enough, although born in America, sees himself as kind of a world figure. He's outside America. America is this sort of petulant child making demands on him, and he imperiously gets to decide, well, that's reasonable. Well, that's not reasonable. I'm not going to go along with that. So Obama, in a sense, is not looking out for America. You never get the feeling that he is aggressively protecting America's interests. You get the feeling that he's some sort of a world referee, if you will, applying a kind of moral lens to decide if America deserves these claims being impetuously pressed forward. So that is a very, to me, un-American project that Obama represents. And whether Hillary will continue that, I'm not really sure. But what I am sure is that this has actually been the legacy of the past 8 years.
Hey, Dinesh, let me ask you one other question, which is there's a lot of talk now, and indeed it is a project of the Koch brothers to make it a bipartisan initiative. Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, has indicated he intends to push forward with it in September, namely the so-called Criminal Justice Reform Initiative. Have you looked at this, and do you have any thoughts on how transformative this might be and in what ways?
I do. Before I address that, if I may say so, Frank, Hillary's America, the movie.com is the website for the film. You can watch a trailer, and if you plug in your zip code, it'll tell you where the movie is playing near you. The book of the same title available everywhere. Okay, turning to criminal justice, there's a lot that does need to be done. I do think that our system is flawed and broken. Now, most of the emphasis is on things like excessive penalties for drug crimes. But in my experience and my observation, having been in the confinement center, a lot of our criminal justice problems are in other areas. For example, the way in which the plea bargain system is used to actually bludgeon even innocent people into pleading guilty. You know, hey, doctor, we're going to charge you with illegally administering pain medicine. And it's a questionable case. You might win, but if you lose, we're going to put you away for 5 years and you'll never be able to practice medicine again. But if you plead guilty, we'll give you 6 months and you'll pay a fine and then you can go back to your medical practice. Well, even an innocent guy is going to plead guilty under those circumstances. So prosecutors have unbelievable discretionary power to lock up the guilty and the innocent alike.
There's so much more to talk about, and yet we are at the end of this time. Dinesh D'Souza, thank you for the film. Thank you for your clarity on so many of these issues and your courage in conveying them to us. Please, again, folks, check out Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party, in both the video form and book as well. And keep up the good work, my friend. Come back to us again, if you would, very soon. I hope the rest of you will do so tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.